Right. So just to review, the Rambam at the very beginning of Perek Tetzvav, Hilchus Isha, Perek Tetzvav writes that even though a woman may give her husband license to forego the obligation of ona that he has to her at a given time, that doesn't take away from the fact that he has an obligation vis-a-vis the mitzvah of Pirurvu. As he says, b'medvar memurim, b'shahayu lo bonim, shekarkiyim mitzvahs Pirurvu, avlan lo kiyim chay livo b'chol ona ad shiyu lo bonim, epnei shehi, mitzvahs asei shal Torah, shenemar, Pirurvu. Now, it would seem that since that's the case, since it's a mitzvah, and the person is not allowed to say, oh, well, my wife said I don't have to have relations, so therefore I don't have to have relations. Why can't I say that? Well, because I have another mitzvah, I have a mitzvah peruvu. And it seems that a person has to endeavor to fulfill that mitzvah, and only after fulfilling that mitzvah can he then perhaps take liberties with the ona aspect of marital intimacy. In the next halacha, in halacha beis, the Rambam reminds us, ha'ish mitzuva al peruvu avaloha isha. Now we get into the related question of when exactly does this chiyuv set in? At what point are we charged with the obligation? So the Rambam says, "Umeimasai ha'ish nischayev b'mitzvah zu." From at what age? So Rambam says from shavasre, from the age of 17. The kevan she'ovru esrim shan. This is based on the Gemara, and since and from 17, well, obviously this wouldn't work in most scenarios in contemporary society. From 17, the kevan she'avru esrim shana, and once a person reaches the age of 20, v'lo nasa isha hareza over u'mavatal mitzvos aseh. But there is, of course, the well-known heter ve'im haya osik v'torah v'torid ba v'haya misyare milisa isha. Let's say a person is still building himself as a ben Torah, and he fears that by getting married, he'll be distracted from his pursuit of Torah study. Then, v'hayom esyar milus isha kedei shalo yitrach b'mezonos. He'll have to be paying bills. He'll have to be taking care of a household. And v'yivatel min ha-Torah. He'll be mevatel from his learning. Harei zeh mutar lis'acher. So in that case, person is allowed to delay the mitzvah, not indefinitely, obviously, but for some period of time. Why? She'osik mitzvah patam mitzvah, the kol shekein b'tal mitor. We have a general principle of osik mitzvah patam mitzvah, and certainly when it comes to Talmud Torah. In Shulchan Aruch, we find Siman Aleph, Sif Gimel. Mitzvah al kol adam shiyisa isha ben yud ches. When a fellow is at the age of 18, then he has to get married, or it's a mitzvah upon him to get married. V'hamaktim lisa ben yud gimel. And if a person is a zoriz and says he's going to get married at age 13, mitzvah. Aval kodem yud gimel lo yisa. But before 13, no, that's not shayach. Why? Dehavi kiznus. B'shum inyan. I'm sorry. Okay, dehavi kiznus. Then it's just like znus because we assume that they're not really able to have children, I guess, too much before 13. The Chalkas Mechokik says, Hu loshon hatur, gam haram perikav aleph, mehilchos yisiri biyakasa v'osar lahasi isha l'katan. She says Zek Kamos Nus who. Now the Mechaber says, Bishum Inyan lo Yavor Michaf Shana. Under no circumstance should a person surpass the age of 20 below Isha. Umisha Ovru Alov Chaf Shana Veina. This lashon is important. Ve'eno rotza lisa. Let's say a person is now beyond the age of 20 and does not want to get married, then based in Kofin also Lisa. Wow. Then based in does, in modern society it would be the community, the Tzibor. We don't have based in the way we once did. They would force him to get married. Kedei l'kayim mitzvos peri v'rivya. However, as the Rambam said previously, mihu im osik v'torah v'toreach ba u'misyari lisa isha kedei shelo yitzrach b'mizono v'yisbatal min ha'torah mutar lehis acher. One moment, please. Now the Rama does add u'bizman hazeh nogu shelo lochav. We don't take this role of compelling a young man to get married. Elza, v'chein mishalo kiin piriyah v'rivya, uba lisa isha she'ina baz bonin. Say a person doesn't have children, hasn't fulfilled the biblical mandate of being fruitful and multiplying, and now he's going to marry a woman who is, for whatever reason, unable to have children. Can go nakara, she's barren, or zekena, or katana, or she's just too young. Mishum shechoshek ba, o mishum mamon shala, afal pishum medina haya limchos ba, even though once upon a time, meikra din, the right thing to do would be to force him, or to tell him he's not doing the right thing. Lo nogu mikama doros ladaktik beinyan hazivugim. We don't get involved in people's choice of spouses to that extent. Va'afil ben nasa isha v'shaha ita ima, Sarah Shanim, lo nogu la kofo soligarshan. Once upon a time, if a fellow was married for 10 years, didn't have children, we would say, hey, listen, it's time to get divorced and marry someone else. Even though, afo pishol ki imperi rivya, v'chein b'shar inyone zivugim. Ubilvach lo te yasura love, as long as he's not married to someone that's usher. If a kohen would marry a grusha, no, then you have to speak out. You have to say, listen, this is not right. This is a violation of the Torah. This is not a zivug that is an appropriate one. Alright, so it seems that once the age for fulfilling this mitzvah comes around, whatever that is, the Gemara's model might not be applicable to today's time and place, but whatever that age is, once that time comes around, a person should be doing what he can to get married, to fulfill the mitzvah of Puruvu, just like any other mitzvah, he has to do what he can to make sure he can fulfill that mitzvah. And if a person unnecessarily avoids doing that without good reason, then he is considered to be mavatal this mitzvah. Again, this shouldn't make a difference whether he's married and not having children or he's not getting married. In either case, he's simply not doing what he has to do to fulfill the mitzvah of Puruvu. Now, there is a somewhat famous. I know, David, you have things on your mind and things you want to talk about. I'm trying to be.
No, I'm writing them down.
Oh, excellent. That's very responsible. There's a somewhat well-known article. This is from the Halacha, the Journal of Halacha and Contemporary Society, often referred to as the RJJ Journal. This is the fall 1982 edition. It's volume 4 of what's now, I don't know, 50 or 60 some odd volumes. Rav Schechter has an article entitled Family Planning. And there's one aspect here, I'm going to read a little bit of this, you'll excuse me, instead of paraphrasing, I'll just read it. Putting off the mitzvah. The more common situation confronting us today, this is page 9, is not so much the case of a couple desiring not to have any children at all, but rather that the couple who haven't yet completed their schooling or are financially insecure and therefore are interested in postponing the starting of a family, was Halacha's opinion of putting off the fulfillment of a mitzvah for a year or two. Obviously, with respect to mitzvahs like tefillin and lulav, which have prescribed times, the person who waits until an entire day passes has irretrievably lost his opportunity to perform that particular mitzvah. And if you say, listen, you know, I'm not going to sit the sukkah today, I'll do it tomorrow. It doesn't work that way. Or I'm not going to eat matzah today, I'll do it, but I'm not going to do it today. It doesn't go that way. But regarding Pir Yehoriviya, where the Torah does not stipulate any time, one might think that the couple who have their children a year or two later fulfill the same mitzvah as if they had begun their family at the start of their marriage. There is a rule governing the performance of all mitzvahs that, as a biblically derived recommended enhancement of the mitzvah, one should zealously perform the mitzvah at the earliest opportunity. We know that that is the rule of Zvizin Matim L'Mitzvos. This is known as the Hidur Mitzvah Daraisa of Zvizin Matim L'Mitzvos. Were this the only issue involved in delaying the raising of a family, there might be ample ground to allow postponement based on the consideration of inconvenience. Meaning, Zvizin Matim L'Mitzvos, yeah, it's a Daraisa concept, but it's a Hidur. So maybe it doesn't detract from the underlying mitzvah if I do the mitzvah, but I don't do it in a manner of Zvizin Makdimin. Because of pressing circumstances, we often postpone a bris, or a pigeon a ben. Hey, why do you make a bris early in the morning? Zvizin Makdimin mitzvos. Under certain circumstances, you don't make a bris early in the morning. For what reason? Well, maybe if you make it at 8 o'clock instead of at 7 o'clock, you'll have 50 people there instead of 10 people there. Maybe that's considered another enhancement to the mitzvah, such that it's reasonable to delay. You'll have a bigger oilam, a bigger tzibur, a bigger kiddush Hashem, as opposed to doing it earlier, where you do have zvizos, but you have less of an oilam, less of a tzibur, less of, perhaps, kiddush Hashem. There you have one example. In some cases, there are people who dafka want a certain tzandik, or they want a certain moel, and they feel that that is an enhancement to the performance of the mitzvah, such that they're willing to delay the mitzvah. In Eretz Yisrael, that's common. When he was alive, people wanted Rav Avani Yosef to be tzaddik. If you're ever there, mincha time, I think people would come and they'd do a couple of brisin one after the other, and that was well after the earliest time of the day, but people wanted Rav Avani to be the tzaddik. And there are others like that, not just Rav Avani, but I happen to know that that was not uncommon. Because of pressing circumstances, we often postpone a bris or a pigeon a ben to a later hour in the day, foregoing this hider mitzvah daraisa of zvizin matim.
But that's still in the day. You're still.
Right. It should be noted, though, that once the designated day for the mitzvah has passed, with no secondary time having been set by the Torah, many poskim rule that this is implicit in the obligation of the mitzvah that it be taken care of as soon as possible. There is no longer heter, merely a hider mitzvah, but rather an essential condition of the biblical command. A case illustrating this point is recorded in the responsa of Rabbi Cheskel Landau, the Nodu Yehuda. In Rabbi Landau's time, firstborn Jews used to avoid fasting on Erev Pesach by attending a seuda of a bris. That doesn't always work out that way. It doesn't always work out that you have a bris Erev Pesach. Even if no baby were born a week before Yom Tov, the last boy born during the season of the year whose bris had to be delayed would have his bris held over until Erev Pesach for the benefit of the firstborn. Can you imagine that? Now, it's hard to chesed out who that's going to be, but let's say, for whatever reason, some baby couldn't have his bris on the eighth day. He was maybe not well, underweight, jaundiced, whatever the case is. Now, they say, okay, you can't do it on the eighth day. Once the kid's well, we would say, oh, let's do it right away. Their minig was, okay, let's leave this baby without a bris, not mahul, for another couple of weeks until Erev Pesach so that everyone could eat. He'll take one for the team. Or the father will take one for the team. And there'll be who to oppose this practice. For good reason. He pointed out that when the bris cannot be performed on the eighth day, proper for medical reasons and must be delayed, one may not postpone it for an additional day unnecessarily. Such a bris must be performed on the earliest possible day. I mean, that's, I think, kind of intuitive to all of us. A possible source for the Nodi Yehuda's opinion can be seen from the Gemara Makos, Yud Gimel Amud Beis. If a person unintentionally violates a command whose intentional transgression carries with it the punishment of kares, this is a famous sugya in Masechet Makos. If you've learned Makos, did you guys do Makos a couple years ago when they did Bikias?
Here?
Yeah.
No, we're not here.
Am I mistaken? Did they not do
Makos? They might have, but they might have done it the year before we got here.
Who's they?
The yeshiva for Pesach on Friday.
Yeah, the guys who were learning. Well, I don't know if it was uniquely on Friday. Oh, maybe. Maybe they were doing the
Bikin
Shir. Maybe it was on was on Friday.
What did she call it? Bikin?
Yeah. So, in the well-known sugya over there, where, let's say a person violates an issur that's mechayev him kares, so he has to bring a karban chatas. The Talmud derives from a verse that the special sacrifice is not brought by the one who unintentionally failed to circumcise himself, although the sin of not observing the bris milah is punishable by kares. The difficulty in understanding this Talmudic passage is obvious. If we're discussing the bringing of karban chatas, clearly the one bringing it is alive, for no chatas can be brought on behalf of a dead person. In that case, how can we say that by mistake this person has not fulfilled the mitzvah of bris milah? As long as he's alive, he can always rectify the situation by having the bris performed upon himself. The simple reading of the Gemara has led several Rishonim to conclude that if one delays the performance of the bris, even if only for a short period of time, and even though he ultimately does fulfill the mitzvah later on in life, the mere postponement constitutes the act of bittul hamitzvah. Mm-hmm. Just as an aside, there's a famous machlokes between the Rambam and the Ravid as to when the chi of kares would attach in such a case. Is it as soon as the 8th day comes, or let's say in the case of a gadol, as soon as a person turns 13, doesn't have a bris, now he's chayav kares because he's obligated to make sure he has a bris and he's not fulfilling his obligation. They say no, it's only when he dies without ever having had a bris, then he's chayav kares. In any event, if we accept this premise, we might then logically extend it to apply to all mitzvahs with no biblically specified time of performance. It will be self-understood that the proper time for the performance of a mitzvah is the earliest available opportunity. One who delays doing a mitzvah, but ultimately does perform it, has been both mevatel and mekayim the mitzvah. In other words, he's mevatel it for the short term, but mekayim it in the long term. Hence, it should follow if a person postpones having a family after already having had the opportunity, meaning married, even if he were later to fulfill the mitzvah, the delay itself would constitute, I'm adding, on some level, a bittul mitzvah. On some level, it would be a bittul. However, one could still argue that there's a major point of distinction between the cases. In the situation of bris milah, there's originally set time for the mitzvah, i.e., what? The 8th day. Having failed to do the mitzvah at the proper time, we are obligated to make it up at the earliest opportunity. But in the case of period rivia, there never was a fixed time for the mitzvah.
Well, but it's from the time you get married when you can do the mitzvah.
But yes, but it's not fixed in time like the 8th day, the 15th of Nisan.
But the mitzvah 15th. Is incumbent. Why would it not be incumbent?
Okay, alright, you want to take a hard line, I understand. Rav Shach is just saying that there is a basis for distinguishing. That you're saying that maybe as soon as you have the opportunity, you should.
That is a specific day, I'm saying. That
you could make that argument. And he's leaving open the possibility that there's room for distinction now. Perhaps in such a case, the only problem involved in postponing the mitzvah would be that of Zvizim Batim the mitzvahs. Okay. Another minute or two with this, because here's where he now tries to bring a raya, lahachriya, one way or the other. And that's from, are you okay?
Mm-hmm. Just, I feel like,
That you're being asphyxiated?
Warm.
Oh, just warm.
Like
warm, I know what warm means.
Is it humid in here?
No, but if you feel warm, you don't need to look for other adjectives. Warm is fine.
Yeah, but it's like a kind of, like make us drink tea too.
Okay. Nevertheless, a further complication arises from the Chazon Ish's interpretation of a Gemara Moed Katan, this time Zayin Amud Beis. The Gemara there, now I'm on page 12, by the way. The Gemara there derives from a verse that the mitzvah of Re'iyas Negoyim, we read about it not long ago in the Torah, that where a person thinks he has a nega, he has to clear out his house, and then he brings the Kohen takes a look at it, determines whether it is or not a nega. So, the mitzvah of Re'iyas Negoyim may be postponed in certain special cases. The mitzvah of Re'iyas Negoyim is similar to that of Perei Rivia, in that both have no biblically set time for their performance. The implication of the Gemara is clear. If not for the special verse, we would not have allowed the postponing of the mitzvah. The Chazon Ish writes that he is unsure just what violation such a delay would have constituted. Does the Gemara mean to say that whereas in other mitzvahs we insist that Zvizim Akdim LeMitzvahs, here, with respect to Re'iyas Negayim, the Torah never required Zvizim, even as a Hidur L'Chadchila? Is that what we're being taught, that there's no... Is that the special limud, that there's no Zvizim Akdim LeMitzvahs when it comes to Re'iyas Negayim? Okay. Or, perhaps the Gemara meant something more significant, that whenever the Torah requires us to do a mitzvah, David, this is essentially what you were saying, but mentioned no specific time, it's understood that the proper time for the mitzvah is the earliest opportunity. And only with respect to Re'ias Negayim has the Torah made an exception, meaning the Gzeir Sakasov tells us that you have a special license over here. The Chazanish prefers the second interpretation.
Can you go back? What was the first one again?
That other mitzvos, we say Zvizim Makdilim mitzvos, is incumbent upon the doer of the mitzvah to do it in the manner of Zvizus. Maybe over here with Re'ias Negayim, you would say it was never even a hidur of Zvizim Makdilim mitzvos. I mean, that's the chiddush, that there's no hidur of Zvizim Makdilim mitzvos. Alternatively, you say no, that any time there is no mitzvah, that there's no given time, you have to do it right away. And over here, the Torah is giving us a special pass. Comes to Zvizim Makdilim mitzvos, you don't have to do that. The Chazanish prefers the second interpretation. According to his opinion, then, this is Rav Shechter's application now, a young married man would not be allowed to postpone the raising of a family, as such a delay would constitute a bittul of the mitzvah. Mm-hmm. Now there's a related issue here also in terms of delay, and that is maybe just for today, and we'll have to continue this discussion obviously a little bit more before we start getting into actual issues of birth control. We're just talking generally about pushing off the mitzvah, delaying the mitzvah. There is a little tshuva in Evan Ezer Chelek Dalad. It was Moshe Evan Ezer Chelek Dalad, Simon Ayin Beis, where he was asked about the propriety of taking pills, what we would call them birth control, or the pill Hayadua, so-called pill, to prevent pregnancy. He named Dovar Likach Liisha Gilulos Echarim Payom Pilin. He has here also Pilin Laminias Herayon. He named Afsha Isser Zerlavatala Leka. So we'll talk about that, but there's obviously no issue here of being Motzi Zerlavatala because it's everything else is taking place normally, right? All interactions between husband and wife are going to be normal. Zara's going to go where it's supposed to go. She just won't be able to get pregnant. Aval below tzorach gadol, gamza ein likach. Shouldn't do this. Now, there's no hatzara zara levatala, Rav Moshe says. So you're not getting into that problem. But he says another issue over here. Ki im lehischachem levakish eitzos. Don't try to outsmart HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Afsha b'shviyo lasheves bara. Ain l'chayev ha'ishal etzta'er yoser mikfi kochoseha. When it comes to the rabbinic mitzvah of having multiple children beyond peruru, we don't tell a woman to do more than her fair share, right? We don't say she has to keep having children even though for whatever reason it's difficult for her or it's mitzayer her. Avohu kemischachem neged rotzon Hashem yisbarach. But we try to take the pillin, not allow pregnancy to take place, all things being equal, this is a philosophical problem that Rav Moshe is pointing to. Ach en hi chalasha, the gufa, okay, if she's not well, the kolshken en hi yira ma'od, shekoren nervin, or she's psychologically impaired because she's already taken care of four kids, or more, and they're all under the age of 10, and just too difficult for her to have another child. Okay, that's a different story. That's like a choli. Shaya shaykh lahatir. Aval yesh leida, but you should know. She gelulos elu. Af she otzrin hadam, even though they do stop the menstrual cycle. Him gam gormim shetira isha ma'at dam. And they cause other problems, which we could talk about in another setting. Ein chilik bein harbe dam lamashu. Aval basher she harbe nashim ein roos mizah. Okay, the rest of the tshuva really deals with the nida aspect of this, which we're not interested in at the moment. But the passing reference that he makes here, I think, is significant. And on more than one occasion when I've spoken to Rosh Hashiva about this issue in general, this is one thing that's come up that I think he told me in the name of the Rav, that the Rav had such an approach that, you know, you don't, all things being equal, you don't try to outsmart Kadosh Baruch Hu. You don't know that when you decide you want to have children, you're going to be able to. You take the pill, you think you're messing, you're going to outsmart the system, and you go off the pill, and you don't know what's going to happen, what's going to be the result later on. I just mentioned that as an aside. This is another.
You don't know what?
You don't know that you're going to be able to have a child. Maybe you stay on the pill too long now, and now.
The pill is not 100%.
That's a separate issue, yeah. I'm just talking hashkafically, philosophically. There's something that needs due deliberation. We don't just say, well, this pill's available and it's no hashkasa zera levatala, so therefore it's mutter. Not necessarily the case. We don't try to do an end run, as it were, around the Ratzon Hashem. That's Rabbi Feinstein's language. Ein leschachim levakish etzos. Who came eschachim neged Ratzon Hashem yisparach. Significant. So that's another issue over here with the general question of delaying the performance of the mitzvah. Okay, we'll stop here, and we'll continue with some related general issues tomorrow, and then I think maybe the day after that we'll begin to get into the specifics. We'll start getting into actual methods and the halachos that pertain to each one. Right now we're just talking very globally, generally, about the mitzvah of Peruvu, and today about the question of delaying the performance of that mitzvah. Okay, so this is what I propose now.